If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
Welcome back to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. I'm going to be your host today, Randy Engston, joined by our faithful fitness director, Mr. Zach Columbia.
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad you're in the seat, man.
You know what I was just thinking about? So I'm sitting in Tim's seat.
Yeah.
And we always podcast after you guys for the gym. Mm-hmm. So we get the Healthy Living Scottsdale podcast. And you guys record first. And then we come in here. And I always sit in this seat. And the headphones are always so massive. And I have to shrink them down and put them on my head. But then I've been in here before when you guys are walking into the studio and sitting
hear
down.
Him? Yep.
And he's like, whose small head
tiny little head was using these every time?
I was just thinking about that. I don't know why.
Well, now you guys get to see the behind the scenes. We got a good one for you guys today. This is a topic that, I mean, staffing in gyms, I don't think there's a more relevant topic when it comes to both, you know, sourcing great coaches, but eventually or, you know, at some point you might have to make a hard decision and let one go. We wanted to dive into that more of that topic today because something that we see quite often is gym owners either making excuses or overlooking things, allowing things to transpire in their gym through, you know, through their staff that they wouldn't normally do if they didn't have the fear of having to rehire somebody or to be down that person, or, you know, it's almost like making the temporary sacrifices that actually hurt the longevity of the organization as a whole. So we wanted to get into today and talk about, you know, when you do have the opportunity or when you do have the hard choice to have to let somebody go, how do you go about that stuff?
Yeah.
I know you and I were talking before the show, we've got a story to share, you know, and we can get into that, but why don't we do that? Why don't we just peel back the layers and just kind of give them a glimpse into,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
workings, yeah, of what actually happens.
Yeah. So I'll give a shout out here to Lindsay
Vastola. Yeah.
Just what a rock star just in life.
Yeah. Know? Amen.
And
yeah,
such a genius. But at the Grow Summit last year, she was presenting and she brought up this analogy of the plate in baseball, and from T-ball all the way up to the big leagues, the plate is 17 inches, yep, right? And so she just had this analogy, like, are you expanding the plate for employees, for staff? You know, are you saying, well, you know, it's okay, like I'm just gonna let this slide, I'm not kind of lower the standards a little bit. And yeah, it's because we do that because hiring is so challenging. It's so hard to find staff. And then if you do have somebody on your team that you're like, they're okay, it's like, well,
is okay the standard you want.
Is okay,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, but then it's like, well, if I get rid of them, then I have to go through this whole entire process. And so she, you know, that analogy, when she said that last year, I was like, oh, I got to fire that guy. Like,
right?
I'm going back and I'm going to fire that employee. And I did. And then, you know, I also had a follow-up call with her a few months later because we were going through some staffing stuff. And she's like, you always have to be recruiting.
Amen.
Always. And so that's really kind of shifted my mindset. And it's a time suck, guys. Like, I'll be honest, there's it's not fun. I don't enjoy it, but I just had to set like time block it on my schedule for recruiting activities, whether mm-hmm. that is networking with people and trainers in the industry, or if it's just like running a job posting and doing phone calls and following up with resumes and, you know, stalking these people, like, let's be honest, stalking them on social media. If you're a trainer and you're listening to this, like, be careful what you put out there.
Clean your stuff up.
I guess for everybody, right? Not just a trainer, but like, that's public. I'm going to go and I'm going to look and I'm going to see right away, like, hey, could this person even potentially be a good fit? But I wanted to start that way before telling the story, because if you are not always recruiting, if you don't have these standards that you're going to hold your staff to, and then also constantly be recruiting, you're going to be in a position where you can't fire somebody, because if you do, you're sucked back out on the training floor. It negatively impacts your team. Maybe they're picking up the slack for somebody else, but imagine what that does when you do have somebody on your team that, so it's just this whole thing. And so it kind of all starts with you just being proactive with the recruiting, you know?
Yeah.
Always be recruiting.
So. Yeah, I mean, you got to look at it similar to lead generation for new clients.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Never turn it off.
Yep. You always have to have the pole in the water and just have to have a stack of resumes that you can go to at any point. And I think that, just to preface that, like, it removes that desperation moment.
Yes.
You know, because like, what happens, let's say that it isn't somebody who's just lousy performance. Let's say that somebody does something that's 100% fireable offense.
Yeah, which is what happened. So we'll talk about that.
But you know what I mean? In that situation, if you didn't have the preparation of the new candidates, now you're in a desperation.
You just have to eat it.
You know what I mean? And and I think that that's easily preventable by just setting yourself up, having that pole in the water, having a consistent list of people that you can reach out to in those times of need. But if you don't, then yeah, you're going to find yourself in a place of desperation. You're going to find yourself on the training floor. Nobody's managing and running the business now because your time's being eaten up. It leads to another array of problems that can be circumvent when you just do a little bit of the work along the way.
Well, we talked on the last episode about like the holy trinity of you know, your model and your fitness business. Well, if you do have somebody on your team and you let something slide, right, that you shouldn't let slide, you're now lowering your standards. Mm-hmm. What example or precedence does that set for the rest of the team? If you do have one individual on your team that's not living up to that standard, but you have a team of high performers, now they're picking up the slack. If they don't lower their standards, they're now having to pick up the slack. That negatively impacts them. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt your team culture. They're going to resent that person. And then that person has, you know, is not performing at the same high level. That negatively impacts your clients. All of this negatively impacts you as the owner. It's just, it all comes together. So if you don't have standards that you're holding your staff to, that should be a system in your business.
Agreed.
Right.
100%, yeah.
So I'll just kind of, I'll tell you guys, you know, little backstory here of what happened. We were recruiting and, I had this coach that applied and from out of state actually. And I had a phone screening with him. Phone screening was great and everything was checked out. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm like, okay, that's a good conversation. When are you moving out here? It was like 2 weeks and I was like, okay, well in 2 weeks, let's, you know, connect once you get here and then let's schedule an in-person interview. They followed up with me. We scheduled the in-person interview and then, did an in-person interview, brought them back, again for a practical, which is take this training team through a workout that they design and then sit down with the coaching staff and they'll ask you some questions for a few minutes and kind of fill you out. Right. All of that, boom, 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 all checks out. Interview process goes very smoothly. And then I'm like, okay, we're good here. Like, we'll, you know, we're ready to bring you on our team. But before we do that, you need to come down here and hang with us for a few hours, you know, sure, so you can see what it's like being an employee here. So you come in, you hang with the coaching staff for a few hours. So he did that. He came in, he hung with the coaching staff and the coaches are like, this guy's going to be really good. Right. And I'll say this, like I've gone through this process, you know, multiple times with people where they're great in the interview. sure. process. Oh, yeah. They know how to interview, which is important, right? Like that's something that I'm assessing, you know, and in an interview, like I'll be honest, like if you lie to me about something, I'm probably not even going to be mad about it if you were smart enough to lie about it, right? That after having so many of these phone calls, and interviews and conversations with people, I'm like, I can't believe you just said that. Like, why would you even like be smart enough to at least like, you know, go around, like leave that part out, you know, maybe position it or frame it a different way, you know, stretch the truth a little, be smart enough to do that. But anyway.
Hey, Tim Lyons here. And let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser focused on building a gym that prints, profit, and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025, build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville.
So all of this checked out. The guy came in, you know, followed our system. And you guys know, if you're listening to this, we have a specific training system. The workouts are designed. They're on the app. And it's like the coaches are going to follow that. And their job is to assess the clients and appropriately score the clients up or down. And that's really where the autonomy is with our coaches. And so you have to be capable of doing that, but you don't go off the script, right?
Exactly.
It's like, if you do, you better have a really good reason. When I come to you and ask you like, hey, that's not on the program, why were you doing that with that client? And so brought this guy on and, you know, they're onboarding. So when somebody's onboarding, what I basically do is like, we'll spend an hour in the office, every day, going over, you know, all the things that are important for them to know, understanding our programming, understanding our standards for training, our touch points with clients, like the whole entire, you know, process. But I keep that to an hour because I want it to be digestible, right? Sure. I want them to retain that information, and the rest of the time is on the training floor. And then after, you know, we kind of start the meeting with like after action report. So it's what went really well, what didn't go well, what are we going to do differently today? So we start the day that way. And then, you know, we're recapping from the day before, and then here's the game plan. And we just do that over and over and over again. And it usually takes a coach about 2 weeks, and then they're rocking and rolling, cool. You know?
Yep.
With this coach, it's like we're almost 30 days in and they're still struggling. They're still missing things, you know, head's not on a swivel. They're spending too much time with clients. They're trying to implement like some corrective exercises and things that aren't our programming. And I'm just having to go back to them and say, hey, you don't do that. Here's, you know, I understand where you're coming from. And so it's just, you know, it was kind of at a point where I'm like getting to, hey, is this going to be coachable?
Sure.
At this point, like, am I going to have to fire this person because they're not going to catch on, or because they're going to keep going off script or that type of thing. But I'm like, nothing, you know, they're still in their onboarding time. I mean, it's probably like realistically 90 days for someone to be able to get up to full speed and do this in their sleep. That's kind of my goal. Like you're on auto, you can operate at a high level on autopilot is the goal at the end of 90 days. But we're like 30 days in, and I'm like, I keep working with this guy. I keep bringing things up, and it's just seems like it's going in one ear and out the other, but yeah. There's small improvements, like incremental. So I'm like, all right, there is improvement here. So it's like, it's just going to take a longer process. It's going to take more time on my part. And then here's what happened, right? Yeah. So I'm going back and forth and like, okay, this is exhausting, but nothing here is fireable,
sure.
Right? Yeah. It's like, okay, you're onboarding. Got to give you a fair chance and keep working with you. But last week, I had just left, and he knew I left because I always say bye to the team. And we had a client that's a regular at a specific time, and she wasn't on the schedule. And so he was wrapping up with a couple of clients. And then he told one of the coaches, hey, I got, at 3 o'clock, there's nobody on the schedule, which is good. Cause I got some work to do on my laptop. There's nothing. There's no responsibilities that he has here that are on his laptop. Right.
Yeah.
And so first of all, like that coach should have been like, no, dude, you're on the clock. Don't do that.
Sure.
But he didn't. And so like I made sure that
that was one corrective.
That was addressed. because I want a team that leads each other.
Sure.
Everybody holds each other to the same standard, especially when you have a new coach that's onboarding, that might not necessarily know the norm, the process. But anyway, said that, and then this client shows up and one of the other coaches put them on the schedule because they saw him come in. And then they went back and said, hey, you know, like this client just showed up. And in front of the other two clients that were wrapping up their session, he like sighed and rolled his eyes. So, you know, what impression does that make?
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, you're in your first 30 days, like you should be
gung-ho to train.
Gung-ho, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. To do your absolute best. And so another, the coach that he had told, hey, I'm going to go do some work in the office, now is trying to like take care of our client, shield our client from this, protect her, make sure she has a good experience. And he was off the clock. He's just working out. And then Jimmy said, hey, you know what? Like I'll work out with her. I'll take her through her workout. Well, he went in the office and pulled up his computer and did his own personal work on company time.
Yeah.
So I found out about this when I came back in the next morning. You know, the team told me and like, that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
Right. So that's that fireable offense, not hanging out, not waiting, not, you know, logistically trying to figure this out or anything. And so I found out about it. And like the next day he came in and I basically was like, hey, come on in here. Like, here's what happened. Like, you're done.
Yeah.
Here. That's it.
It's one of the challenges I think is applying too much emotion to the situation. You know, for gym owners and for people in that position, you know, this, it's not an emotional thing.
No.
You know what I mean? It was very clear that he made a decision that what he had on his laptop was more important than the well-being of that client, the well-being of the business, and the well-being, like his job at, you know, that he was hired to do.
Yeah.
All of that took second fiddle to whatever was on his laptop that he felt, you know, took priority. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I couldn't, and again, I mean, all of us, everyone listening probably says the same thing. Like I couldn't imagine thinking that would be okay. Right. But your position in it, as soon as you found out, you acted swiftly, you made the decision that had to happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an emotional decision, right? You could have spent more time, you could have explained it all, but I think that was a really big tell as opposed to some of the things that, you know, along the way, he just maybe wasn't picking up on. It was coaching moments, right?
Well, as soon as you realize that, like, somebody is not bought into the success of the business, right? One of our core values is take extreme ownership over the business. Like, treat the business like it's your own.
Sure.
And when there's a direct misalignment there with your core value, something as fundamental as, like, core value number one, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's happening in your first 30 days, what's going to happen 3 months in or 6 months in?
Yeah.
So
that's a great point. Now you found yourself in that position. Obviously you're back to the recruiting process, trying to get people back in for, you know, somebody, a body in to handle that. How does that weigh in? You know, like in a perfect scenario, right? You don't have to jump to that, but
yeah,
you know, you've done the preparation. You've obviously got the poles in the water. You've had the ability to have some candidates, you know, to work through. Take us through that. I mean, is that obviously it's helped mitigate some of that shock and things like that. But I mean, we're days into this. You know what I mean?
2 weeks ago, we interviewed another coach, and we went through the whole entire process. Like we were going to hire her, even though we didn't have an open position, you know? And so you just have to do that. You have to build your bench. Like sure. you look at a baseball team, right? Like if your star player gets injured, there's three people behind them that you can just easily slide into that role. And, you know, I get that's a different situation, but you should treat it like that. Hey, who's my bench? Who are my three go-to candidates that I could reach out to if I do lose an employee, yeah, right? Yeah. If I do have to fire somebody. And you came in my office this morning and I jumped on a recruiting call. I got a call literally. Schedule with a candidate. And, you know, we talked for 10 minutes and I just basically told the guy, hey, this isn't, you know, sorry, I'm be direct with you. Not going to waste your time. Like, you're not what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. And we're done.
And I think equally was, you know, you guys aren't what he was looking for. You know what I mean? Like I could overhear the call and things like that. And I think that his vision for what he wanted for himself wasn't in alignment with the needs of the business here. And so obviously, you know, again, not making a decision. You could have made a rash decision to fit the square peg in the round hole, right?
Yeah.
And but then again, now you're leading the future with, you're creating more problems that are going to develop as a product of that. And, you know, so sometimes you do. It's the emotional aspect of just having, you know, like jumping at something. Working with another coach. He's done a couple of another gym owner, kind of coaching him through. He's had some turnover and he's got to put a new body in there. And, you know, he's had two interviews so far and he was almost trying to sell me on why either of these guys would be the perfect fit. You know, and I just told him, I go, you know, your gut instinct right out of the gate was that this guy didn't have he didn't fit the bill. He didn't fit the community, the people, wrong personality type, you know, for the job that you're trying to fill. You know, and then the other guy, great education, all of the things, but, you know, no experience in another full-time position. So again, like both had their challenges, but it was interesting because the gym owner is, like I said, he's trying to sell me on the fact that, like, he's trying to sell himself is what he's trying to do on, you know, is this the right candidate for the job? And my feedback was, you know, take more reps, you know, get a few more people, do some more interviews because you might make that decision right now. And the next interview that you were going to have would have been the perfect candidate. Right. So do yourself some justice and get reps, get some people through the door, figure out what your options are and then make the best decision for the business. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. You're really not going to know either until you bring somebody on your team. You know, like this guy interviewed great.
Imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, it was probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
We had another situation a while back. a same kind of deal? Like this guy went through a phone screening, an in-person interview, a practical interview with the coaching staff. Everything was great. And we had just hired another coach and I didn't have a position for him. And I just told him, hey man, like everything was awesome. But the schedule, like your schedule and what we need doesn't align. I'm going to put you at the top of my list. If we have something open up, you're going to be the first person I call. Well, we had a position open, happened to open up, and I called him and he was like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, well, why don't you come, why don't you come down? And it, well, what happened is I told him, I said, hey, you know, are you interested in this position? And everything broke down. Like the follow-up on his part, the proactive communication all started, like I was chasing him down to get, you know, follow-up from him. And then it finally got to a point where I was like, this guy interviewed so well. Now he's got the job and he's
nowhere to be found.
Dropping the ball here. I was like, I almost told him no. And then I was like, I got to have you come in, you know, like let's, why don't you come down here and we'll chat about this. We'll iron all the details out and everything. And, you know, go from there. Dude showed up late for his interview. He texted me and said, hey, my ETA is 4:15. And it was like, he was scheduled for 4 to meet with me at 4. So I called him because I was so irritated at that point. I'm like, I'm going to tell him not to come. And he's like, first of all, why are you texting me? Call me. Give me the courtesy of a call. You know, all these things get weighed, man. If you're a coach and you're listening to this, like I'm going to get with Lindsay. We're going to create like a course for like how to, you know, land the job or something, but like the what not to do and the what to do. First of all, call me. And then I called him and I was very irritated. He's like, man, I'm so sorry. There's an accident on the freeway. I left in time. Like I'm on my way. I was like, all right, I could understand that. Cause you know, I've been there before where it's like, okay, that just unexpected thing happens. So I was like, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. He shows up here, like dressed in basketball shorts and a t-shirt and hat with sunglasses on. It looked like he came from, you know, a baseball game or whatever. When he came in for his interview before, he like was in dress pants and he even changed to do our like work and practical workout with the team. And I was like, dude, we're done, man. Yeah. We're done.
Stringing you along.
We're done. So again, like I would have hired that guy had we had the position open at the time, but then he knew he had the position basically. What do you think that's going to look like in 3 months?
Exactly. Yeah.
What coach am I going to get? Am I going to get the first one that interviewed and was all professional, or am I going to get the one that's out? I got in the bag, so I don't have to, you know, impress. He's
mailing
anymore.
It in at this point.
Yeah. But again, I don't care. I hear all kinds of things from people like, oh, we got this, you know, 5-step interview process. We've got this 10-step interview process. There are certain things that you're just not going to know until that person comes in and starts working for you. And in the first 3 months, like it could all fall apart and somebody that you thought was going to be a great candidate might not be.
Well, it speaks a lot for, you know, having like a probationary period.
Yes.
Right. You know what I mean? Do you guys have anything like that baked into the?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 90-day probationary period always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart.
So, and I mean, I've fired coaches on their third day with, you know, that they've been here just because I'm like, you know, that this isn't it. This is not the fit for you. And you interviewed great. Like we had one guy was a bodybuilder. I'm just telling stories. I've been through so many. I couldn't even tell you how many coaches.
And these are the ones that showed up.
Yeah. We had this one guy that was a bodybuilder and his interview process was great. Followed up, sent me a thank you letter. Like after the interview, like checked all the boxes, went through 3 interviews with us plus the phone screening. And he shows up here like it was probably 30 days after we, you know, decided he just had some things going on. We're like, okay, we'll start you on this date. And he was getting closer to showtime, like his physique show. He was a, you know, bodybuilder. Oh, yeah. And I think he was like roided out. And so his personality, he could suppress during the interview process.
Well, now he's dieting down. He's cutting weight down.
The calories are down. The trend is up. And this dude has no filter whatsoever. And I just was like, it was day 3. And he basically told me one of our systems that we did was dumb, which was like documenting what workout the client did that day. And I was like, excuse me? And then he came. I was like, I'm gonna have to fire this guy. He won't leave this alone. He kept bringing it up. I was like, I'll explain it later. We got clients here. I'll explain it later. And then like, I'm going to my office. I sit down. I'm like, this guy's gonna like, am I gonna have to fire this guy? I'm like, and then he comes in. Literally 60 seconds later, I'm already kind of irritated, and he's got our programming, and he's like, so this is volume. I was like, yeah, we do German volume training. That's one of our cycles here mm-hmm. at the time we did that. And he's like, but it's not really volume. And I'm like, it's called German volume training. And he's like, oh, so you just call this volume. And I was like, at that point, I was like, dude, I am done. You are done.
Yeah.
You're fired. I've had enough. Get out. Oh, man. And then he went down the hall, like calling me an asshole, like walking down the hall all loud where our clients on the training floor. I chased him out of the office and I was like, you shut your mouth. And then I had to come in here into this studio. Tim was on a webinar. I didn't know he was hosting a webinar with like, he had like 100 people on there. And I cracked this door open. I'm like, Tim, I need you. I'm like, it's an emergency. He's like, it's an emergency. And he just closed his laptop in the middle of a live webinar. If he had just said like, busy, man, I would have handled it. But anyway, I don't know if anybody listening was on that webinar and it's just like the technical difficulty. I don't know what he told you happened, but that's a true story.
Well, you know, it's not always Christmas. Not every day is, just glorious inside the walls of the gym. But, staffing is a big thing. We are in a relationship business, whether it's, the relationship with the client, whether it's a relationship with the coaches, whether it's their relationship with their client. At the end of the day, the human dynamic is interesting. People do goofy things.
Yeah.
But time does show some of those things that, those come out, those operating systems that they operate with. Sometimes you see the real truth. They take off that hiring facade and yep. and you start to see how they operate, how they what's the old saying, when mom's away the boys will play type of thing, when nobody's looking, how do they operate,
their default,
and how
do they do mode it? Kicks
yeah exactly
in, you right? know and sometimes people can hide that temporarily, right?
Sure.
in yep. limited capacity, but then when you've got that person with you for 8 hours, like things start to come through.
Yeah.
Unless you're an expert at recognizing narcissistic behavior, like you're also going to deal a lot with that in this industry. So
sure.
oh, you yeah. kind of have to, I suggest you highly, leverage ChatGPT and those types of things to, get the transcripts, get the resumes, record the conversations, plug it into ChatGPT and know, what you're dealing with,
You like a system?
Let's not talk about systems.
You mean a system?
Let's not talk about systems. But yeah, I mean, most gym owners are not recruiters. They don't have recruiting sure. background. So like you get a ChatGPT, you can say, hey, I want you to be an expert recruiter. We have fed we have a GPT created that we fed our handbook. We fed our core values. We fed our standards. I have done DISC assessments with our coaching staff and fed it like, this coach was one of our best coaches. Here's their DISC assessment. Analyze this person, analyze this candidate, so we can try to find like an avatar client. We can try to find an avatar coach.
Genius.
Yeah.
So, well, all right. That's a great one. We'll leave you with that. Go train a GPT on your recruiting practices.
Go fire somebody.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Let's make it an exciting week. But, if you guys need any help with any of this, Zach and I are to the coaches as part of our Springboard program with Tim. The link for that's in our show notes. If you have trouble with the systems of your business, if you've got trouble with lead generation, staff structure, how you want to break through that next, glass ceiling that you're experiencing, reach out. Let's have a chat. But until next episode, keep changing lives.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.